This is Free Thought Radio with co-hosts Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews.
Imagine there's no heaven.
Atheist, agnostic, skeptic, secular humanist, non-believer, whatever you like to call yourself, we like to say we all disbelieve in the same God at the Freedom From Religion Foundation. And welcome to Free Thought Radio, radio for the rest of us, radio with irreverent views, news, music, and interviews. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And I'm Dan Barker, your friendly neighborhood atheist. This is the weekend of February 26th and 27th, 2011. We broadcast in the now famous Madison, Wisconsin, and we're also airing in several other cities across the nation, and of course, podcasting everywhere. Free Thought Radio is the weekly production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, a national organization working to keep state and church separate and to educate the public about the views of non-believers.
We are the nation's largest Free Thought Association, which means atheist agnostics. We have 16,000 plus members, and we hope that you'll join us and swell our ranks. And today we have a little bit of this, a little bit of that for you. First, we'll update you on the Ten Commandments mania in Virginia public schools and tell you about how FFRF's complaint there is progressing.
And later in the show, we'll play a little music to commemorate the historic goings-on at the state capitol here in Madison, Wisconsin for the past 10 days.
And then on the second half of Free Thought Radio, we'll have a little youth. We'll speak with a young freethinking student, Evan Clark, who organized a regional meeting of freethinking students and clubs in Southern California last weekend. And you were there, right, Dan?
I was there. They invited me to come speak at that regional gathering of leaders of the secular, atheist, agnostic, humanist club, whatever they call themselves, some called Pastafarians. And Evan is the president. Not only is he the president of the secular club at California Lutheran University, a religious school.
Say again, Lutheran?
Yes, but in spite of his outspoken atheism, or maybe because of it, he was elected student body president at that religious university. So that'll be a fun thing to talk about.
We'll hear more about that. Now, we have reported FFRF's complaint about Ten Commandments being posted at public schools in Giles County, Virginia. We had recently had on our program FFRF staff attorney Patrick Elliott, who wrote a strong letter of complaint that we thought had resulted in a neat remedy of this violation last December. The superintendent removed the Ten Commandments that were unlawfully displayed in the schools after Patrick pointed out there is a Supreme Court decision speaking to this issue, Stone versus Graham, and that it's clearly against the law.
But then, dum-da-dum-dum, the clergy and their backers got into the act. They packed a school board meeting, and that school board voted 5-0 to overturn the superintendent's proper action and return the Ten Commandments to all Giles County schools.
And we have wonderfully been contacted by brave students and brave parents of students who are willing to go to court with us to challenge this. We've been working with Rebecca Glenberg of the ACLU of Virginia, who has prepared a joint challenge for both groups to go into federal court and stop this. And as we speak, we're in limbo, even though I don't believe in a religious limbo.
We can co-opt a religious word for secular purposes.
Earlier this week, the school board voted again to remove the commandments, and we would be ready to shout hallelujah, you know, praise reason, but we're just not sure yet whether they really mean it.
Now listen to this. Here's some news coverage about that issue, and I think you will hear that it's definitely skewed news coverage.
Public schools have plenty of rules and policies, but what about commandments? There's a looming court battle over the biblical texts, which were posted inside every school in Giles County. However, in the past month, they've been taken down and put back up several times. Do the Ten Commandments have a place in school? Tonight, our Mark Holmberg talks to people on both sides of the debate. Here's Mark's report and commentary.
You know, it looks like old Moses would get quite a workout carrying those Ten Commandments up and down the steps of the schools in Giles County.
Up and down, like a window shade. For years, the Ten Commandments had been posted beside the Constitution in the southwestern Virginia's county public school system. Parental complaints and an inquiry from the Freedom From Religion Foundation in Wisconsin led to the commandments coming down in December. Last month, they went right back up after school board members got an earful from residents. Then today, they came right back down again after a special meeting of the school board.
It's unconstitutional to place religious edicts in a public school to proselytize a captive audience of school children. And there is a Supreme Court decision speaking exactly to these set of circumstances and saying it's a no-no.
But John Whitehead with the Rutherford Institute, sort of a religious version of the ACLU, says the commandments could likely stand a challenge if they were posted as part of a larger educational display about historically influential documents.
But you can't have them with just the Constitution. I mean, I'd make an entire wall of 10 to 20 things.
There's no question this country has changed dramatically since the time of George Washington, who said the nation should stand on the rock of God and the Bible. Former Senator Barack Obama summed up that difference nicely.
Where we once were, we are no longer a Christian nation, at least not just. We are also a Jewish nation, a Muslim nation, and a Buddhist nation, and a Hindu nation, and a nation of non-believers.
You know, it's hard to argue with the Freedom From Religion folks in this matter, but they're only telling part of the story. The other half of the Establishment Clause, the government can't interfere with the freedom of religion. For example, if kids in Giles County want to come to school wearing the Ten Commandments on a T-shirt, that's their right. But you know what? If Moses was there, he'd probably say, it's not what's on the wall or on your shirt. It's what's in your heart that matters. That's my take. I'd love to hear yours on WTVR.com.
So that was
the comments and opinions of Mark Holmberg do not necessarily reflect the views of WTVR-CBS6.
So that was unusual because most of the reporters have been very sympathetic. And
you saw how they said that doesn't necessarily reflect the views of our station.
Right. This is out of Roanoke. And first of all, I have to say that George Washington never said that quote. We are seeing this bogus quote a lot recently cropping up with Sarah Palin and Tea Party people. And he didn't say it. And of course, kids can wear Ten Commandments to school, but these are in elementary schools, for example. They don't even know what adultery means. Hmm. Why would you do that? And so we do hope we have a victory, but we're kind of holding our breath here to see what they've got in mind.
Well, and then they're forgetting this distinction between private speech and government speech.
Exactly.
Of course, the students can do that. And by the way, these people are always saying that the Ten Commandments are one of our founding documents or historical document, but that's not true. Where are the Ten Commandments mentioned? Anywhere in our founding documents? They were not mentioned all during the Constitutional Convention.
And they certainly are not even mentioned in the Declaration of Independence.
So it's a Christian right lie that we somehow are based on that document.
So we'll keep you posted. And meanwhile, we have another theocratic school board, oh boy, in Smith County, Virginia, that's contemplating more of this nonsense.
Despite plans for a lawsuit against the Giles County school system, some in another Southwest Virginia community are pushing to put the Ten Commandments up in schools. As we've reported, hundreds showed up to protest the removal of the commandments in Giles County schools last month. It was that public outcry that led to the school board voting to put the plaques back up. But regardless of the controversy it's causing in Giles County, as 10 on Your Side's Aaron Barnett reports tonight, some in Smith County want to see those same commandments posted on the walls of schools there.
When Pastor Don Medley heard the Ten Commandments were posted on the walls of Giles County schools, he thought, why not post the commandments in Smith County schools?
We thought that was a great idea, so we pursued it.
After talking it over with other church leaders and an attorney, Medley presented the idea to the school board, who responded saying they would consider it. This was all before the Freedom From Religion Foundation announced they plan to file suit against Giles County schools for displaying the commandments in their schools. But the threat of a lawsuit in Giles isn't stopping Medley.
We feel it's time that every county and every church in America stand up and say we have a right to.
And those in support.
I think that's one, going back to our country, it's founded on that. And I think that's just a great way to build on your life is going by the Ten Commandments. And so I think that's what kids need in their lives is a structure and stability.
Dr. Mike Robinson, superintendent of Smith County Schools, tells us a decision has not been made, but the idea is not off the table yet. School leaders are seeking legal counsel on how the commandments could be displayed in a historic context, and once they discuss it with an attorney, then the school board will decide. In Smith County, Aaron Barnett, WSLS 10 on your side.
Well, so FFRF has written a letter informing Smith County that what they are contemplating is inappropriate and unconstitutional, and there has never been a court decision saying you can stick the Ten Commandments up amid a bunch of other documents in a public school. So, boy, there's a lot of ignorance out there.
Smith County is S-M-Y-T-H.
And we were very gratified after Patrick at our office complained in Giles County, Virginia, about the Ten Commandments there, to receive many supportive comments from Virginians in the area, including a young woman, Sarah McNair, who documented how she had written complaints as a high school student a few years ago to get rid of these same Ten Commandments, and they should have listened to her. And so, in honor of her activism, FFRF has awarded this 23-year-old its annual Thomas Jefferson Youth Activist Award, very appropriate and fitting since Jefferson was from Virginia. Sarah is now a part-time student, and we hope to get her on Free Thought Radio soon to talk about her activism in that area. There were other things going on that she complained about.
The Freedom From Religion Foundation has a non-tract that says, what's wrong with the Ten Commandments? You can go online and get that non-tract. But for starters, the first four commandments are all religious edicts, such as, I am the Lord thy God, and thou shalt have no other gods before me. And they contradict our Bill of Rights, and what kind of art, what kind of speech, what kind of religion you can have. So there's plenty wrong with the Ten Commandments. They do not represent our country.
And what we always say is, if you just look at the first commandment alone, thou shalt have no other God before thee, that is reason enough to say it cannot go in any public school, because it isn't the business of Giles County or Smith County, Virginia public school to tell students which God to have, how many gods to have, or whether to have any gods at all.
You're listening to Free Thought Radio. I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor. We'll be back to play some labor movement songs by freethinkers, because worker rights are a hot topic right now in Madison, Wisconsin. Then we'll talk with an enterprising student activist for Free Thought who talk about how he's been welcomed at his Lutheran campus as an atheist activist. The times, they are a-changing.
Find out more about Free Thought Radio and the Freedom From Religion Foundation at FFRF.org or phone 1-800-335-4021. This is Free Thought Radio with your hosts, Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor.
I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor, and the two of us are co-presidents of the Freedom From Religion Foundation.
Freethinkers, of course, come in all political stripes. Adam Smith, the capitalist theorist, was a freethinker.
And there was Ayn Rand, who spawned a whole non-religious libertarian movement.
But Karl Marx was also a freethinker who called religion the opium of the people. Many labor activists in this country have been freethinkers, including Joe Hill. We have a lovely recording by Paul Robeson, a freethinker himself, singing this ode to labor legend Joe Hill.
I dreamed I saw Joe Hill last night, alive as you and me. Says I, but Joe, you're 10 years dead. I never died, says he. I never died, says he. In Salt Lake City, Joe says I, him standing by my bed. They framed you on a murder charge, says Joe, but I'm dead. Says Joe, but I'm dead. The copper bosses killed you, Joe. They shot you, Joe, says I. Takes more than guns to kill a man, says Joe, I didn't die. says Joe, I didn't die. And standing there as big as life, smiling with his eyes, says Joe, what they can never kill, went on to organize, went on to organize. From San Diego up to Maine, in every mine and mill, where workers strike and organize, it's there you'll find your hill. It's there you'll find your hill. I dreamed I saw Joe Hill last night, alive as you and me. Says I, but Joe, you're 10 years dead. I never died, says he.
Paul Robeson, that was Joe Hill. Now we have the song Bread and Roses, commemorating a women's millworkers' strike, which has also become a feminist anthem, and I've heard many versions, but my favorite is yours, Dan.
As we go marching, marching in the beauty of the day, a million darkened kitchens, a thousand mill lofts gray, are touched with all the radiance that a sudden sun discloses. For the people here are singing, bread and roses, bread and roses. As we go marching, marching, we battle too for men, for they are in the struggle, and together we shall win. Our day shall not be sweated from birth until life closes. Hearts starve as well as bodies. Give us bread, but give us roses. As we go marching, marching, unnumbered women dead go crying through our singing their ancient call for bread. Small art and love and beauty, their trudging spirits knew. Yes, it is bread we fight for, but we fight for roses too. As we go marching, marching, we're standing proud and tall. The rising of the women means the rising of us all. No more the drudge or idler, 10 that toil where one reposes, but a sharing of life's glories. Bread and roses, bread and roses, bread and roses.
You're listening to Free Thought Radio. Stay tuned. After the break, we'll be talking about free thought student activism on campuses with a stellar president of the Secular Club at a Christian university. I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor, and we'll be right back.
Hi, my name is Doug, and I'm from Eden Prairie, Minnesota, and I'm on Free Thought Radio.
Ask for a sample issue of Free Thought today and find out more about the Freedom From Religion Foundation at FFRF.org or phone 1-800-335-4021. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor here with Dan Barker.
And we have on the phone with us from Thousand Oaks, California, Evan Clark. Evan is a senior at California Lutheran University, and that's quite an interesting school to be talking about on Free Thought Radio, and it'll be an interesting discussion. Evan is originally from Massachusetts. He's the president of the secular group on that religious campus. He organized just this last week the Southern California Secular Student Alliance Leadership Conference, which took place right at that university. And I got to speak there, and I got to meet Evan again for the second time. And he'll tell us, in addition to all of that, about how he, as an atheist, an outspoken and welcomed atheist at that religious school, was elected student body president. So welcome to Free Thought Radio, Evan.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So you just got out of class and rushed over to a phone, is that right?
I did, but I made it.
Oh, great. So back up here, you were raised non-religious and then you went to a Christian university. Tell us about that.
That's right. So I grew up in a family pretty apathetic to religion. I think there was still a belief that I should grow up a little bit with religion, so I went to a Catholic school in first grade. But since then, I have said I am not religious, and since I knew what the word atheist was, I've identified myself as that. But then come college search time, I was looking at small schools, liberal arts schools in Southern California, and by chance, I put this one on my list because I was being recruited for tennis. And after visiting school, it's really been a love story ever since.
So it was tennis. It was the real reason, huh?
No, there was many reasons.
They offered you a good stipend?
They did, but it was actually the only school I applied to. I pretty much knew this was the school for me.
So then a couple of years ago, you must have been a sophomore, you started. What's the name of your campus club?
We're the Secular Student Alliance at CLU.
And I remember you invited me to come talk there a couple of years ago, and I was surprised. I was imagining a little huddling group of two or three atheists in this religious atmosphere, but you had this outgoing, successful, exuberant club accepted on campus.
That's right, and it's only grown since. We've really thrived in this setting. As you know, ELCA Lutheran is not as conservative as some other religions can be. But in a religious setting, the community for non-believers has grown to be perfect here. So people come out from all over because we are a place you can openly talk about non-belief. And we've continued to grow by being that home.
Now, are most of your members ex-Lutherans, or do you just come from all walks of life?
No, actually, the university has less Lutherans than Catholics. But we definitely have students from all walks of life. A lot grew up in secular households. Few have converted have lost faith while in college. Many by taking the basic intro to Christianity classes we have on campus. Vast history of my members.
Yeah, a little knowledge goes a long way, huh?
I agree.
And what's the things that your club does on campus?
So we're very active. Since the beginning, we've done weekly meetings on Sunday nights. Go figure, people are available. And at each meeting, we go about 2 hours. We just have open discussion. We'll hit anything from philosophy to politics to your basic tell me your story. From there, we've also brought speakers to campus, such as Dan in 2009, Bobby Kirkhart, Ted Cox, and then we've became really active in field trips. We actively go out and participate in religious services and then come back and talk about them, which has made us a really good bridge on campus for those that are fascinated about about other religions, even that are still religious.
So it's kind of a different kind of Bible study.
A real Bible study.
Right. So, I mean, we look at it as we're an extension for learning about religion outside the classroom. And the religion department actually looks to us when people want to find out more about other religions.
So does the school itself tolerate your group, or does it encourage and welcome your group?
We've been extremely tolerated and extremely accepted. So right from the beginning, we were passed easily by the Student Senate, and the administration has been amazing in helping us throughout the years.
So you didn't have any trouble hosting this Southern California Conference of Secular Student Leaders then?
Right. When we first were asked by the national group if we'd be interested in hosting, I immediately went to a few administrators, tried to feel out would there be any problems or controversy about that, and overwhelming support. We've been a successful student group, and we've shown we're not out to cause too much controversy. And while we know there was some that disliked that we had it on campus, overwhelmingly the university was behind us.
So I was not there. Dan was there last weekend at this conference, but why don't you tell listeners what went on?
Sure. We had the National Secular Student Alliance, which has over 250 affiliate groups on college campuses around the country and around the world. They've been hosting regional conferences for a few years now, and they decided to do a Southern California Leadership Conference. We hosted it, and we invited students and national speakers to come speak about leadership, their presence in the secular movement, and so on. And a lot of leadership development came out of that. We had students from at least 7 different universities, along with local community members and national speakers. And I just can't say how successful it went.
How many people attended?
We had about 50 people total, which was one of their most successful regional conferences yet.
And Michael Shermer spoke?
Right. Our keynote address was Michael Shermer.
And there were more than 50 at that, that final...
Oh, absolutely. At Shermer's presentation, we had it open to the public, and we probably had at least 60 to 70 students and over 130 people in attendance.
Now tell us where that event took place.
That was in the chapel.
That was interesting. Michael was up there talking, and then he turned around and looked, and he went, "Oh, what is that? This huge pipe organ with all these big trumpet things coming. What in the heck is that?" Yeah, standing up in a pulpit. Did you notice, I know you were busy before it started, but did you notice that some of us went to the piano and we were performing free thought music before the meeting began?
Absolutely. It was really, I had a few people approach me. This is a dream come true to listen to Dan Barker in a chapel play his music.
I did a little bit of Vatican Rag and a friendly neighborhood atheist. It wasn't part of the program, but we were just jamming, having fun there in a church.
I don't know if there is a song that particularly tweaks Lutheranism. Is there?
A mighty fortress is our non-faith.
You have to rewrite it. Now, does your Free Thought Club ever talk about Martin Luther?
We do a bit. We haven't specifically focused on him in any of our recent meetings, but we do talk a lot about how our club fits in with the university's mission of furthering both faith and reason. And so we kind of play off that motto to be that we're also part of the Lutheran tradition of higher education, because we are another way to ask people to question, which was Martin Luther's greatest principle.
Well, he questioned Catholicism, but he said you should tear reason out of, it was like tearing your eyes out of your face if you
right.
should not use reason when you're examining his faith. So
right.
that might be a good topic for Bible study for Lutherans, because I think most Lutheran students don't know how icky Martin Luther was.
This is true, and a lot of people learn that in the religion classes on campus. He has definitely a mixed history, but the way our university interprets it, we actually fit nicely in that concept of faith and reason.
Well, he was a dissenter, which you can at least say that. He was not afraid to dissent from the status quo. One of the interesting things I heard you say during your talk was how surprised you were to find yourself in the position of representing diversity on campus. And that was surprising to you, wasn't it?
Yes. So once I became student body president, which is a fun story in itself, immediately I had professors referencing me as an example of, you know, minorities and diversity on campus. I had tour guides using me as an example. And likewise, in the secular community, I got to represent being successful in a religious setting. And so I really became a representative for the bridge between the two.
And do you think that one of the reasons that the college is very welcoming is because it is trying to attract a lot, it needs to attract more non-Lutherans than Lutherans, so it needs, you're a good shining example of how people can be comfortable at the university.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. I mean, we actually don't have any recruiting policies strictly towards Lutherans, so I don't think we feel like we have too many or too little, but I do think they use me as a shining example of we're an academic institution when we recruit, and this is diversity.
But I think it is not at all unusual for religious universities these days to have more people who are not of that religion than
right.
otherwise. That was true when we went down to DePaul.
Yeah, DePaul
University, Dan, which
the
is
Catholic. Yeah,
that's the largest.
And St. Catherine's, remember that? We mm-hmm. had that Catholic Women's College.
They really need, you know, they say 24% of the population is Catholic, but they need more than that. So 2/3 of their body is not Catholic. So that's probably part of it. And it's nice, whatever the reason is, that they're welcoming you. I'm Annie Laurie Geller with Dan Barker. We are speaking with Evan Clark, who is an atheist activist at a Lutheran campus. Just came out of a successful regional conference last week with the Secular Student Alliance, and we'll be back in a minute to talk a little bit more with Evan.
Ask for a sample issue of Free Thought today and find out more about the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org or phone 1-800-335-4021. The things that you're liable to read in the Bible, it ain't necessarily so. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Annie Laurie Geller with Dan Barker, and we're speaking with one of the many up-and-coming student Free Thought activists, Evan Clark, who is from Thousand Oaks, is in Thousand Oaks, California, attending California Lutheran University. And I guess he was going to tell us the story of how you got nominated and elected to be head of the student body
president on campus.
There as an atheist.
Right. All right. So I got involved in leadership real early. By sophomore year, I had already four things I was involved in, one being student government. And then the next 2 years, I also stayed with that as a committee chair. And come just before my senior year, I decided to put my name in the hat running for student body president. And it was an interesting adventure because everyone was worried, will it be controversial? You are an atheist. You started the secular club. And it wasn't, actually. The student body took it wonderfully. The only feedback I heard back was from worried alumni, like, are we ready for it yet?
Hmm.
And overwhelmingly, it was never an issue that came out publicly during the election, and I won.
And nobody asked, how can a non-believer represent a religious college?
Privately, I had a few people ask, but it never seemed to be a problem. It's an answer I find very simple to come to a solution for, that I believe very strongly in the university's tradition of Lutheran education, and representing that can't be hard when education's first.
Now, I think maybe this story is an example of this shift that's happening in the country. We've known for a number of years now that the country's becoming much more secular, and that your generation is the least religious we've had in a long time, if ever. I think 25 to 30% of people of your age group, college age and young 20s, are non-believers. They're atheists or they're agnostics. So something is shifting and changing. And you, within that age group, do you sense that, or do you feel that, or does it just feel like the world has been pretty much secular?
I do feel that, but I've also been in communities where I could feel that. Definitely my high school community, Probably even more so than 30% were non-religious. But I was in a very high education area, one of the top high schools in America. And then in a Lutheran setting, I kind of got the flip side. I got that it's a much more religious world in a religious setting, but not the conservative religious setting that we always hear about. So yes and no. I think generally it's greater than it used to be, but there's definitely a long ways to go.
Yeah, but this, we're talking about California Lutherans, right?
Right. Yeah, so within the Lutherans, the ELCA Lutherans, and then us California Lutherans, I would say very liberal, definitely.
So maybe something like what happened with Harvard University. You know, Harvard started out, and you lived close to there, didn't you? You lived in Massachusetts.
Yeah.
Harvard started out as a seminary to train preachers. It started off as a religious school. And look at Harvard today.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe someday, are you studying political science?
I have a minor in political science. Yes.
So maybe someday you'll be the retired governor of California and you'll come back to California something else university. It might be renamed and become a totally secular school.
Yeah, I mean, the possibility is always out there, but I don't see it in the immediate future. And I mean, it's very proud to be Lutheran. It finds a lot of tradition in that, but... I don't know. I mean, the student body, at least. I think the dynamics of student self-representation is definitely changing.
Yeah.
Well, for students anywhere, high school or college, whatever, wherever they're going to school, and probably most of them are going to public schools since they predominate, do you have any advice on how to start a free thought club? I mean, I know that the Secular Student Alliance, their website and their staff offer a lot of advice, but what have you learned? What advice would you give to students to become active?
Well, definitely if you want to get involved in starting a secular club, go find the Secular Student Alliance. They are the best at helping out young leaders get started in any setting. They have the experience to back it up. But my personal advice is just get involved. Learn leadership. It's not hard to get involved in any setting. You immediately make friends. You immediately learn valuable skills. And in many cases, you immediately can access funds. And that's the start of any organization.
The Secular Student Alliance is a national group, and we've had them on our show before, August Brunsman and Liz Liddell and Jesse. We had Jesse Galef on recently. And they can be reached online at secularstudents.org. And your group is affiliated with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I also don't know, Evan, if you know about it, and of course you're outgoing, but FFRF has three student essay competitions for students. One is for high school seniors who are college bound in the fall, and we're asking them this year to write about a moment that made you proud to be a free thinker, when you felt proud to be a free thinker. Then we have a college competition for ongoing college students. They need to be going through school through December 2011. And then we have a second year mature student, we call it, 25 and up, or grad student, and they're talking about keeping religion out of government. And so we have this staggered essay competition, and students can go to our website and look under outreach and find the essay competition, and we really encourage anyone listening who's a student who qualifies to enter our competition. Have you ever entered our competition?
I haven't before, but I've definitely already started publicizing it to my club.
Well, good. We try to get the word out, and I suppose you didn't know about it, but...
Of course, you have to be going on to college, so when you're ready to go into grad school, then you can do that. I want to tell you, I was impressed with the organization of the conference you guys put on. It wasn't just you, one or two people doing all the work, but you had delegated, and a lot of the other students were just happy, eager participants doing their jobs and making sure this thing ran, at least from my point of view, it ran like clockwork, so congratulations on that.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it.
And some of those younger students will be taking over then after their fearless leader has gone, right?
Absolutely.
Well, great. Well, thanks for being on the show. We are encouraged. People of our generation are encouraged to see not only bright but dedicated and active young people, college age and 20-somethings, working to make this world a more reasonable place with more understanding and less violence. So thank you, Evan Clark, for all you're doing.
Thanks for having me on.
I'm Annie Laurie Giller with Dan Barker, and you've been listening to Free Thought Radio. And Dan, do you want to do the thank yous?
We also want to thank Brian Tarani. Brian's always in the studio here quietly, producing and organizing and playing the actualities. Are we going to hear the little bit of California?
Yeah, we'll have that to go out with coming up here.
Oh, we will. Okay, so right. We actually have a few more seconds here. So, well,
I'm not always quiet.
You're not always that quiet. Well, you've been down at the Capitol a bit. We're here with these protests and things that have been going on here in Madison, Wisconsin.
I have been, and that's a study in not being quiet.
And you've been handing out hot cocoa?
Hot cocoa yesterday after work, yeah.
It was very cold, so I'm sure you were popular.
It was a good reception for that, for sure.
We saw a lot of students at the Capitol, of students.
The offices of the Freedom From Religion Foundation are just two blocks from the Capitol, and we see all the protesters walking by. And, you know, we all have different political views, but it's exciting to see democracy in action. This is Errol Garner we're listening to as we're going out. Errol Garner is playing California, Here I Come, in honor of our talk to a California student. We also want to thank our announcer, Buzz Kemper. Free Thought Radio is recorded in Madison, Wisconsin. Go to ffrf.org/radio to hear the archives and sign up for the podcast.
Ask for more information. Join FFRF at ffrf.org or phone 1-800-335-4021. Support our important work for separation of church and state and to educate the public about non-theism. Ask for a sample copy of the January-February issue at 1-800-335-4021. Tune in next week for more Rational Radio.
Free Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, FFRF.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker. I hope someday.